I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this week's episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast.
Yes. And what advice we're going to, this is the last question. If somebody does feel like they're creeping on the edge of burnout, what advice do you have to kind of reel themselves back in so they don't go into burnout? This is the theme of the whole show, going from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant.
Yeah. Press the pause button. You have the power to press the pause button at any time. And there's no one else sitting there waiting to take care of you. You have to do it for yourself. It's hard. You're going to feel guilty. You're going to feel like you're letting someone down, because that's how we all, you know, work in the space. But the truth is, you have to hit the pause button. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. No slow motion, I'm alive. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. This is such an exciting week for our show because we made it to number 61 in the United States in education on Apple Podcasts. So thank you guys for all your continued support. And I'm just so excited that we are such a recognized show in the area of self-help and education. Today, we have an incredible guest in the studio. Welcome to the show, Tabitha Jones. Hey, Rebecca. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's so great to see you. I am going to tell my audience a little bit about your background. So Tabitha Jones is the Corporate Escape Sherpa. I love that name. Specializing in helping Gen X women transition from corporate careers to entrepreneurship. After leading high-performing technical teams in corporate America for over 20 years, she made her own leap at age 50, and now she helps other ambitious women exit corporate America strategically and without burning down their whole life. She is the CEO of the Empowered Leadership Coaching Program, author of Promotion Ready in 3 months, host of the Gen X Remix, Midlife, Laughs, and Next Acts podcast, and the creator of the Corporate Escape Accelerator, a 6-month program designed to help women build their business before they leave corporate. I totally agree with that, by the way. Tabitha believes women over 50 can have whatever they want and that it only takes a few key shifts to turn the someday dream into a profitable next act. Well, Tabitha, tell us your story. How did you end up in corporate America running tech teams? And what made you decide to exit? And was it an easy decision, or did you go like back and forth for years? Tell us about the whole story.
Oh my gosh, such a story. So I really tripped and fell into corporate America, had no idea or intention about information services or leading technical teams. I literally walked into the cable office call center one day and thought, you know what, I'm just going to get a job here for 6 months and see what happens. I kind of fell in love with the pace, went through so many just changes, tried different roles, responsibilities, and fell in love with the technical side of things. And for people who know me really well, they laugh because they're like, that makes zero sense. Like people, if I ask them, you know, would you guess, what would your guess be? What do you think I did? Or what do you think I do? And they'd say, oh, definitely HR. I'm like, oh, definitely not. I don't think HR would accept me. But I loved the technical side of things because leadership really isn't a technical skill. Leadership is about helping bring out the best in others and really serving them and making sure that they have access to the things they need and that they have a space where they can safely bring their innovative ideas and build big things. So I did what I should have done at the time. I thought this was the right thing, right? Built the career, climbed the ladder. I worked myself up into an executive director role. So I've been based in California my whole life, but I worked for our region. I then was promoted to division, then corporate. And really, for the most part, enjoyed the journey. I learned so many wonderful things. I had a lot of fun. You know, kind of backstory, step back. Earliest early-ish on in my leadership career, I actually stayed in the same role for 10 years. Mm. And this is one of the things that I brought forward into the coaching world. So we're going to bounce around a little bit here.
Yeah.
Kind of stepping back, right? So early on, I stayed in a project manager role for 10 years. Never asked for a raise, never asked for a better title, but kept taking on more and more and more responsibility. So as a project manager, I was leading huge projects. I was actually managing 3 teams of people who did completely different work. I was working on my degree. I was doing what women do, right? I got to be perfect. And then somebody's just going to give me what I deserve. And, you know, fun fact that most of us learn the hard way, it doesn't really work that way. So through a reorg, going from region into a division structure, I had to reapply for my job and realized that I was already doing more than the role ahead of me was expected to do. So I thought, okay, we're done.
But you got downsized and had to reapply for your same job that you had?
Yeah, we were downsizing. So the whole plan was we're going to restructure. We're going to change the way this department's managed. We're going under new leadership. And everyone in the department basically was either reapply for these jobs that are remaining, or you're going to take a severance package or find another job. And so at that point, I was like, well, wait a minute. I'm already doing more than this job. Why am I not applying for that? So I did. I interviewed for it. I was offered the promotion with a 4% pay increase. And that was the day I thought, girlfriend, you're doing it wrong. This is not how it works. So I politely declined the job offer. So my thought was, I'm either moving up, I'm moving over, or I'm moving out.
Yes, so, like the Billy Joel song, I'm moving out.
I'm moving out. That's it. No more. And the look on the hiring manager's face was pretty much just that look of shock. I think there was the expectation that I would just keep doing what I was doing. And within 15 minutes, I was pulled into the CFO's office and she proceeded to tell me why they value me. She proceeded to tell me why they wanted me in that role. Things that I should have been able to do, but I had never negotiated or never really asked for what I deserved. So her question to me is, what will it take to make this offer more palatable? And I said, well, I would like a senior manager title and I would like 15%. And she said, I assume you mean on top of that 4% we've already offered. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. That's what I meant. So I walked out of there with my head held high, feeling really good, but reflected on that conversation thinking, man, there's a lot of things that I've been doing wrong. And because I was afraid to ask for help and because I was really making my boss shine, nobody was in a hurry to help me move on, right? I'm making this team look great. I realized that I had given other people control of my career and decided immediately that that needed to stop. So 10 months later, guess what? Another reorg. And I was like, all right, so now we're going up into this bigger division structure. I'll have people maybe reporting from 7 states. Okay. We were moving from 7 directors down to 4. Everyone had to apply again, starting with the director level. And I thought, I'm going to apply for that director role. Well, I didn't initially get an interview. So I called the leader of the department and I said, hey, I just wanted to check in. I hear people are interviewing. I haven't been called. And she said, well, we're only interviewing people who already have a director title. We see you just recently were promoted to senior manager. We absolutely have a role for you on our team. And I thanked her. And then I put all of my strategies into play. And I said, listen, I appreciate that. It's good to feel wanted. But here's some things you don't know. I've actually already been doing this job for probably the last 5 to 7 years. I already have done these things. Here are my accomplishments. Here's what makes me unique compared to my competitors. And here's why I believe I deserve an opportunity. So 2 days later, I was in Denver interviewing in a panel of, again, 7 vice presidents and directors for my next role. And I just created that blueprint from that experience and then used it to gain 2 more promotions over the next couple of years. So fast forward to the end, that last promotion I had negotiated for was a senior director title, sorry, executive director title with our corporate team. I got it and I realized I just wasn't happy anymore. So
you climbed the corporate ladder, you got to the top, and you're
got up there.
Now what?
This is not it.
Yeah, exactly. At least you climbed to the top, though.
So yeah, I got as high as I wanted to be.
That far, you could get to the top and say, okay, this is not for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And what happens is people get really surprised by that. Oh, but you've worked so hard. You've been so successful. And I realized that my meaning and feeling of success had changed. I'm like, I don't really want to go any higher. I don't really want to keep working 60 to 70 hours a week.
Success now?
For me, it's very different. Well, I would say it's always been about having an impact on people's lives, helping people see their abilities, which are usually so much greater than they realize on their own. Mm-hmm. And that had always been my favorite part of my job. I loved helping people realize where they could go, helping them get to that next level, teaching them the strategies that it takes to talk about yourself and own your accomplishments. When we went through that reorg, a lot of that was kind of pulled away because the new leadership team, I say new leadership, new to me, they were an old leadership team. They've been in their roles for a really long time, had a very different way of being and doing things. And I wouldn't say it was wrong. I would just say it wasn't a good fit for me and it wasn't aligned with my way of doing things. And quite frankly, it was exhausting trying to get things to work for me. I had started building my coaching business 4 years before that because I wanted to bring just more kind of happiness and success to people outside of the company. And it gave me that opportunity to start building, start figuring out what I like to do, figuring out where I can really impact clients and help them with their careers. And as I was having that going through that transition, I thought, well, why don't I just do that full time? I built this business.
That's what you love to do, is impact people. So for 4 years, I want everybody to hear this because I teach, don't quit your job, get a side hustle, have multiple streams of income to pay your bills, feed your family, keep your health insurance.
Yes.
So it was 4 years of doing your coaching business on the side before you exited corporate America. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. And I preach exactly the same thing because a lot of people are sold that thought or theory from influencers that, oh, you can just jump right out of your corporate job. You can just go start a business in 5 minutes and work from a beach 3 hours a week and earn $2 million a year. It doesn't work that way.
Or just have the right funnel, right? And then you could just,
right, just
get it set up and make money while you sleep. And
oh yeah.
And then there's the masculine business coach that says, you know, you got to max out your credit cards, put it all on the line. You got to burn your boats to take the island and put yourself in like fight or flight cortisol hell in order to make a business work. And the way that you're saying is no, you don't put yourself in fight or flight. You do it as a side hustle. So then when did you know it was the right time to leave your corporate job and do your coaching business full time?
You know, I would say it was more about the corporate role than the business itself. And funny that you said side hustle. I had always created a Pinterest boards and I had side hustle was the name. And then when I was getting ready to leap, I changed it to dream job. It's like we're switching it up. But there was just a point where I realized, you know, I don't feel well anymore. I'm stressed out. I'm exhausted. I feel like I'm swimming upstream all the time. Also, the reorg to corporate actually happened officially for our whole team at the beginning of 2020. So we know what drama 2020 brought into our lives on top of all of this. And I just finally hit a point where I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. So I told my husband in December of 2020, I said, I'm going to give notice in March after my bonus and stock options are done, and I'm going to leave. And he was pretty shocked. Most of my close friends were really shocked, you know, again, that you've been so successful. You make so much money. You do these things. And I'm like, ooh, that's really not where I'm tying my value system right now. My values are in a different place. Yes, I still like to make money. Let's be real. But on the flip side, I'm like, I want to do it at my pace. And I want to do things that I have more control over. So it was pretty shocking for people when I gave my notice, but it was just time. I had spent, like I said, 4 years, right? Building, identifying my ideal client, getting my finances in order, clearing out, oh my gosh, the things we pay for when we have a job and like just money coming in and just blowing out, the things we pay for, right? We've got multiple gym memberships. We've got streaming services we don't watch. We've got XM radio. I hadn't driven my car because it was 2020 and we were stuck at home. I'm like, why am I still paying for this service? You know? So it gave me time to go through all of those things, to meet with a financial advisor, to sit down with my husband and say, okay, here's what I've set aside for this business. Here's how I'm seeing it go forward. And so I gave notice in March of 2021 over Teams because we were still at home, and my leader choked on her water visibly.
Like shocked. A movie. She's like, "You're what?"
I wish I could have recorded it. I'm like, she's a sweet lady, but that's, I was so dying. Satisfying. I wish I could have recorded, right? It was. And I only gave 3 weeks notice, which also surprised a lot of people. But I said, you know, I know that I don't need to stay any longer than that. I've already been handing my things off quietly behind the scenes. So it was just, you know, it was just time. And that's kind of the long story of what built up to this process.
Well, we are going to cut. That's a great story. We're going to cut to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want you to talk about coaching Generation X, because I'm absolutely obsessed with generational psychology. And I want to hear why you chose Generation X as an ideal client and what makes them different in their work and in their own business. So we're going to cut to a quick break and we'll be right back. Thanks for listening, guys. Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I am interviewing the corporate escape Sherpa, Tabitha Jones, who specializes in helping Generation X women exit corporate America. So why did you choose Generation X as an ideal client?
Oh my gosh. First off, we are the most fun generation. I don't care who says what, right? I feel like in the beginning when I was still working my day job, I was doing a lot of testing. So I would work with anyone that came my way. So this means friends, kids that were graduating from college, or another one that was a student trying to get his internship. I was working with women and men and kids and adults. And I just found that I resonated so much with the story of the Gen X woman, right? We're supposed to be the feral generation, but we're the feral generation that wants everyone to like us and give permission.
So yeah, what is the story of the Gen X woman? Is that it? The feral, what is the story though of the Gen X woman in particular, in your opinion?
I feel like we just have had so much generational conditioning. Right? We were raised by boomers. So raised to be more conservative with money, raised to climb the ladder, all the things we should. We should ourselves to death, right? You should do this. You should do that. We raised children. In my case, he's a millennial who just, you know what, mom, I'm just going to go be an entrepreneur. I'm like, oh, well, okay. He's like, I saw you go to work every day. I saw how hard you worked and how many hours, and I see you now and I see how much happier you are. I'm like, yeah, look at that. I raised you not to be afraid of failure. Our generation, I think we were a little more afraid to fail. There was no one really to bail us out. I mean, I know some people came from different families, but my family wasn't one that could bail me out if I failed. So I had to have that feeling of stability and security. And what I find a lot with Gen X women is we have those fears. We've done everything for everyone. We've taken care of the spouse, the kids, the everything. Mm-hmm. But it's finally our time where we're in our late 40s into our early 60s, and finally time to say, what do I really want? Who am I? Am I really happy? And it's just a really great time for us to start asking those questions, because this is the time of our life where we get to do pretty much whatever we choose, and we definitely deserve to be happier.
So my definition of success changed too. I was like the typical Gen X woman, people pleaser, you know, wanting to make everyone happy. I never did work for corporate America because I'm just too rebellious, but I was a people pleaser and I wanted to look good. I want everyone to like me. So I changed my definition from looking good to feeling good. And my definition of success is, how much joy do I feel? And if something is not invoking joy, then it's just not worth it for me, because life is too short. So my next question is, when a Gen X woman comes to you and says, Tabitha, help me escape. I hate my job. I hate my boss. What? But I don't know what to do. I have no idea what my next chapter is going to look like, what my business should be. What kind of questions or directions would you give someone in that position?
You know, in that role, or in that position, I always start with what I call my freedom framework. We dig into your why, your what, your who, and your how. So your why is, what is your driving force? What is it that inspires you? What makes you happy? And then once we figure that piece out, we can go into the what. So what skills do you love using the most? When you think about the women I'm working with, most have come from corporate. They're in corporate still. Most are in leadership roles, generally a director and above type of role. So many amazing skills. So many skills that we love to use and maybe don't get to use enough. Or so many things that we do that we just have to do that we don't love doing. So let's make the list. Let's get that cataloged and figure it out. And as part of the what solutions do you like to bring? What problems do you like to solve? So getting deeper into that. Then we dig into the who. Well, who is it you want to spend your time with? And there's experimenting to do there, right? It's definitely figuring out, like I did, who is it that you really want to work with? And most of the women I work with are wanting to go into coaching, consulting, or building some type of a business. I'm working with someone right now who's building a retreat business. So definitely they're service-based people. So we go through that and then figuring out the who and then into the how. So how do you want to work with them? Are we looking at having a storefront? Are you wanting to work with people virtually? Is this in person at a retreat? And once we have that figured out, then we start getting into even more tactical things. One strategy that I recommend is just blocking 1 hour a day, 5 days a week on your calendar to work on your business. And it's funny, I was interviewing a podcast guest and I said this out loud and she said, oh gosh, I never could have done that when I was working full time. And I said, well, I believed that I couldn't do it initially when I was working full time. But what I realized is I was wasting a lot of time scrolling on Instagram because I was miserable and I thought that would make me feel better, or, you know, playing Candy Crush or doing whatever those little things are that we say are, you know, downtime, when really I could grab a journal and start writing down ideas for an hour, or I could focus on my why, or I could pull out my credit card bill and see where are my money leaks. So I could start.
I like that. Where are my money leaks? Cause that's what you said you did. And that made it easier to transition out of corporate because there are so many money leaks.
Oh my gosh. I joke because I was a platinum White House Black White House Black Market shopper. I love White House, still love White House Black Market. But I would walk in, they knew me by name, there'd be a dressing room with clothes already in it. Who needs to buy that many clothes? I literally am on camera now, you know, everybody sees me from my neck up. But honestly, I had so many clothes. And it was like this badge of honor to walk in and be like, oh, they know my name, they've got the stuff, there's $1,000. And I was like, well, wait a minute, if I'm dropping, you know, probably $5,000 to $7,000 a year, and being conservative, into clothing, what if I put $5,000 to $7,000 a year down on my house payment or down on my car payment and started paying off debt so that when I leave, I don't have those bills to worry about. Mm-hmm. I can spend the time and the money investing in things that help grow my business. So yeah, there's definitely some value there.
And people spend so much money at Starbucks every day. They spend like $5 to $10 on like a drink and a croissant, and you can get a coffee maker and make it at home. And that money adds up over time. And that is status too, because walking around with like that cup makes you look like really cool and hip. And we see like pictures of the celebrities walking around with their, you know, coffee from Starbucks. So yes, I own stock in Starbucks. So hey, you know, don't stop buying it. You know what I'm saying? But I just think that is another money leak. So you have a woman that comes to you. You ask her, I love that framework. Why, what, who, and how. And then you start with the 5 hours a day while she's working her job. Do you have any other good time management hacks? Because I feel like that is time and money are right the two objections of why somebody wouldn't want to start a side hustle. So we covered money with the money leaks, and any other ideas you have about money, we can come back to. But I think time management is a really big area where women feel overwhelmed. They're like, I'm already overwhelmed. I'm working 40 hours a week. I've got the kids. I've got the husband. I've got this. Are there any other good time management hacks or tips for women who are wanting to exit their corporate job?
Yeah, absolutely. So the 5 hours is per week. So it's 1 hour per day. We want to make sure that that's what you're banking in for yourself. It comes down to, if it's not a heck yes, it's a heck no. So not the people pleasing, right? So we go back to the people pleasing. We say yes to a lot of things because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, or we don't want to disappoint somebody, or whatever that is for each individual. Sometimes just saying no thank you or no I can't today so you can secure that hour is really helpful. Mm-hmm. The other thing is sometimes investing that hour is as easy as when you're commuting. Maybe turning on a podcast where you can get some tips, or turning on your voice recorder and just downloading your ideas, which then you can drop into a transcription tool and it'll type them up for you and put them in nice notes. Just so that you're getting things really organized. And, you know, the other thing I say is make sure you're taking time off. So we work in our corporate jobs. We, again, we're like a badge of honor. I haven't taken a vacation in days. I've got 42 months backed up of vacation time. Take the damn vacation time. Yeah. Take a week. You know what? You don't have anywhere to go? Great. Spend 2 days of that just focusing on yourself. Go in for a spa appointment.
Have a staycation.
Have a staycation, then spend time every day. Have it blocked on your calendar. First thing in the morning, I'm going to do these things. Give yourself the one most important thing you must complete each day and get it done, because every step that you're taking is a step forward and a step closer to your exit.
Beautiful. And then what about the money objection? I don't have any extra money to invest, because starting a business, you know, hiring a coach, getting certain software and technical platforms, it all costs money. So how do you help your clients find the money to start a business if they don't have it?
So the type of business makes a difference too, right? Sometimes it costs a lot of money to start your business. Sometimes it really doesn't cost that much. It's a business license, some coaching, and that type of thing. I say that comes back to looking at your expenses, looking at where you have those revenue leaks or those financial leaks, looking for maybe an opportunity. Maybe your family of four takes a $10,000 vacation every year. And I say that because taking a family of four to Disneyland these days seems to be about $10,000. Maybe I'm exaggerating. But whatever it is, can you cut the vacation fund in half and stash that money? Can you, you know, I don't believe in, I'm glad you brought this up, some of the masculine energy coaches that are like, just charge up your credit cards.
Yeah, max them out. We'll pay them off later when you, you know, make $1 million in your own business.
I was in a program where someone told me that she had $110,000 in credit card debt and I almost passed out. I'm like, wait, what? I can't. Yeah. So I don't recommend that. There are going to be some things where maybe, you know, you have to ask, is there an installment plan option? Mm-hmm. Or you may go through putting it on your credit card and paying it down before you leave your corporate job. Let that corporate paycheck help fund your business, help you escape. And then that way you don't have that same pressure. It's harder if you leave first, because then you feel like the money's even tighter and you feel like I can't spend, but then you're in that kind of chicken and egg cycle where you need to invest to grow and build. But if you're feeling that fear of spending money, then you also are trying to hold on tightly. So do it while you're in corporate, make those investments, invest the time. You can do it. It sounds hard. I know people have kids, they have parents they're taking care of. We have all these things going on, but there's always a little bit of time. Maybe it's not 1 hour a day. Maybe it's 2.5 hours on a Saturday and 2.5 hours on a Sunday. Like, you've got to work it into your schedule or it'll never happen.
Or 15 or 20 minutes at lunch, like fit it into the nooks and crannies of your day. And there's the compound effect. It's amazing how much just 20 minutes could add up over time. It's better than nothing.
Exactly. You know, if you think about it, it's kind of like Legos, it sounds funny, but, you know, go grab your kids' Legos and bring them on your desk. And, you know, I've got 15 minutes. I need to build a square. You know what? Do what you can with those 15 minutes with the Legos, and then come back tomorrow and do 15 more minutes. And at the end of the week, you've got almost a Lego house built. So it's just like that with building a business. And time is going by. No matter what you think, time is going by. And so you might as well make the best of it right now. Another thing I see, and it's kind of, it's heartbreaking, is women who end up going through a reorg. They end up losing their job in their 50s, mid-50s, trying to go and find another job.
They can't. I mean, it's happening so much. And I actually have a couple of friends. There is ageism. It's a real thing. Yeah. And why would somebody hire a woman in their 50s or a man, because both people listen to this podcast, when they could hire a whippersnapper out of college, 22, 23 years old, for a quarter of the pay? Why would they pay somebody, you know, what someone in their 50s would need to support a mortgage and a family? So, yeah, that's why it's so important. Even if you love your corporate job, with how unstable the economy is, and because you are working for someone else, to have multiple streams of income, because in this day and age, anything can happen at any time. When we come back after this commercial break, we're going to talk about why midlife is actually the best time to launch your own business. And that kind of surprises me, because I would think, huh, maybe when you're young and you have more energy and time, but you think that midlife is absolutely the best time. So we're going to talk about that after a quick commercial break. Thanks for listening, guys. Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We are talking about why is midlife the best time to start your own business, Tabitha?
Oh my gosh, this is my favorite question. So honestly, you know, it's funny, you alluded to it, you know, when you're younger and you have all the energy and all of that. When you're more mature and we're in this midlife space, we have so much experience. And this is the thing we forget, right? Because we recognize ourselves when we look in the mirror as a corporate badass. We are the one who, you know, did all these great things for this corporation. Well, guess what? All of that you get to bring with you. That doesn't stay behind. So you're coming in with decades of experience that's going to help you move really quickly when it comes to building and scaling your business. And those are things like communication. I'd say we're more patient most of the time. But definitely, you know, communication, we've got those leadership skills. We've learned from the workplace how to work with people across all generations. So just because I tend to work with Gen X women doesn't mean that someone else who's 54 and a half is going to want to work with Gen X women. She may want to work with college aged men or college aged students with autism or whatever it is that lights her fire. And the amount of experience we have from corporate, from parenting, from caregiving, from helping run other people's businesses. That's one of the things I smile about. It's like, I don't know how to be an entrepreneur. And then I'm like, wait, I've been helping my husband be an entrepreneur since 2005. Yes, I do. You know, we have all of that in us. We just need to bring it out and let it shine so we can succeed and go. But absolutely believe that midlife is the best time to start that business.
I love that. So what is the most surprising thing about this new chapter that you're in of entrepreneurship?
Oh my gosh. I'd say it is just how the ebbs and flows. I'm just going to say it's the ebbs and flows, because sometimes you are just having the best just jam. Everything's aligned. Everything's just flowing. And then something will shift. For example, this year we know a lot of things shifted and they economy and political side. And that shifts the way people invest. It shifts the way people want to buy. So then that gives me an opportunity to go and kind of learn a little bit more. Well, what is it that people are looking for now? What is it that I can do to really zhuzh things up to help people succeed, even though this climate has changed and things feel very different? So I'd say that's the most surprising, is just how often things change. And I love it, because I think everyone who's an entrepreneur loves this part of it, but it's the learning, the constant learning.
I love and hate it. It's like, just when you think you've like figured something out and you're in a groove with something, it's like, whoa, what just happened? The bottom drops out and you have to figure out like how to reinvent yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And just being open to whatever comes your way. I've had some really interesting things come my way. And actually, I've got some big projects coming up with clients who are not Gen X women. But it was just, hey, I have this need. Can you fill it? Like, oh my gosh, that sounds so fun. Yeah, absolutely. I can fill that. So it's just about sometimes being open and listening to those messages, but knowing that it can be a little bumpy sometimes. You just need to be ready for it.
Well, that's the law of attraction, right? Like being open to stuff that you are pulling into the universe. And if something is exciting and fun and profitable, maybe it's not something that you ever expected. That happened to me. This is so random. I've never said this publicly, but one of my former bosses in LA is making a fortune in the stem cell business in South America. And he asked me if I would help him with that business. I'm able to do it from home in Cincinnati, Ohio. But I was like, I never thought in a million years I would be in the stem cell business, but I am promoting a bunch of health and wellness products. So stem cells are definitely in that umbrella. But I was just like, he told me how much money he was making, how much fun he was having. And I was like, yeah, it was a heck yeah. So yeah, that's about entrepreneurship and having multiple streams of income and not getting stuck. So that brings me to my next question. Why do you think it is, Tabitha, that so many women just get stuck in a dead-end job with a boss they hate and a company they don't believe in?
It's literally fear. And, you know, the fear of what's on the other side. I've actually had clients say this. So before I shifted to the corporate escape Sherpa, I was doing career advancement, leadership, executive type coaching. And I would hear, at least I'm with the devil I know. I'm like, oh God, that hurts. Like, I would never want someone to feel like that, right? So if I leave, how do I know it's not going to be worse? If I leave, how do I know it's not going to be harder? I've already invested 20 years at this company. I want to just ride it out.
This sounds to me the same exact thing women say when they're in a toxic marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the same feeling. I've already put in 20 years. At least I know the painful person that I'm with and how, you know, to work around their emotions. And it's fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
So how do you counsel people to overcome fear of the unknown?
It's definitely a lot of mindset, right? And a lot of vision work. So let's visualize you doing something completely different. Let's visualize you outside of this company, outside of this boss that you can't stand. Let's talk about it. And sometimes it's not about starting a business. Sometimes it's just about rebuilding that confidence so that they can move on to another role. It's you hit the nail on the head when you said a toxic relationship, right? You have to rebuild yourself now. Your confidence has taken it really badly. It's not in the place that it needs to be. You're questioning yourself. You're petrified to make the wrong move or say the wrong thing or be yourself. And in a job that is really complicated, at home it's complicated, but in a job you're there 8 to 10 plus hours a day, pasting this fake smile on your face with a, you know, yes, sir. Let me just go do that so I can stay under the radar. It will make you physically sick. And I know that from experience because I was physically sick by the time I left my job. And that's where we've got to go. Like, let's talk about things that you're feeling. Let's talk about your health. Let's talk about what could be.
Well, how did you get physically sick? Like, what were your symptoms?
So extreme insomnia, migraines, nausea all the time, constant stomach troubles. I actually had started seeing a naturopath in my early 40s to deal with some of the things that were going on. And she ran a bunch of tests. So I had had vitamin deficiencies. I had some basic autoimmune things going on in my body that were triggered by stress, believe it or not. I had felt like I'd had mono for years. Like, I'm exhausted. I don't, if anyone hasn't had mono, it is just like you feel exhausted all the time. Like, I can barely get out of the chair. And I would just go, 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 go. And then I'd be just down. And so she ran all these tests and they run your hormone tests, your stress hormones, your sex hormones, all of those. And I just wasn't feeling well. And even through all the care she had given me, and things had gotten a little better as far as the migraines had stopped, I'd started sleeping. I just got to this point where I was not in a good place and never really tied it to the job, right? I knew stress was triggering it, but never really, you know, if we weren't as bad as you want, or yeah, I'm so stressed, I work so hard. And when I had my test done before I left my job, it was February-ish that I'd had the test done. I had them done again in August because she tests every 6 months. And in August, she said, "What changed?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean what changed?" And she said, "Well, I'm looking at your levels right now. They've never been balanced before and they are today." She's like, "It's been 10 years. I quit my job." She's like, "Oh yeah, that was killing you. It was literally killing you."
Literally.
I know.
And then dis-ease, yeah. If you're uneasy, it, even if you're not leaving your job or leaving your toxic relationship, the body is still holding on to that.
Exactly. And your body's fighting and trying to give you all this. It's waving the flags like, "Hey lady, check out this flag. We're telling you." And, you know, we just keep ignoring it because, you know, that's how it is. We're women. We got to get it all done. But, you know, kind of back to that mindset piece, like, are you feeling any of these symptoms? Like, how do you feel when you get out of bed? Do you feel energized and excited to go to work? Or do you feel like, oh my gosh, another day? Because let's face it, I already told you I'm 54 and a half. I always laugh about the half. I don't have another 54 years on this planet. So however many years I have left, I feel like I deserve to be happy. I deserve to do something that's lighting me up. And I want other women to see that. I want them to live that and really, you know, just know that you deserve, women and men, you deserve to be happy. This is a chapter of our lives where we're energetic. For the most part, our health's in pretty good shape. For the most part, our kids have grown or they're at least more independent. And, you know, having that conversation and really just reframing some of those thoughts is what it takes to get to that next step.
You're married. How many years have you been married?
We have been together 30 years and in August we will be married 28.
So how did leaving corporate America affect your marriage? And how is being an entrepreneur affecting your marriage?
You know, it was a little bumpy at first. He also is an entrepreneur. He's a general contractor. So I didn't realize, one, how much time he's actually home some days. And I'm extremely like toxically independent. So, you know, it's like sometimes like, okay, when the door is shut, I need you and the dog to stay on the other side of it. You know, so there was definitely a little bit of push and pull in that space. But, you know, it's been good. I'd say I went through some things and he was very supportive, and some of those things fairly unexpected. One was a really big identity crisis. So I knew who I was every day going to corporate. I didn't know who I was as much as an entrepreneur. And I've built this into my coaching program too, because all of my close friends from the past 30 years, I never hear from them. It seems like I'm like, but we were so close. We shared stories. We had kids' pictures. We went to each other's graduations, whatever. And it took me a little while to realize, well, it's because I have spare time now. They're still working in their corporate job. Like, I'll see them in 10 years. You know? Or I need to make the extra effort to stay in touch because they just don't have the time or the bandwidth. When you're in a corporate role, you generally are connected with the people you see every single day. And after that, you're just like, okay, I'm done. I don't need to do anything.
You're also a mirror. Because you have the courage and the strength and the fortitude to leave corporate America and start your own business, and they are still there. So that could also make them feel bad about themselves.
It can. And it just, the hard thing I think for me though, was I just didn't expect that feeling. So it took me a while. It took me a little bit to decompress, and he was supportive through that. Going from having two phones for the past 20 years and two laptops and needing to check my email every 3 seconds to, there's nothing that urgent anymore, or nobody's really waiting if I don't answer a text in 5 seconds. It took a little bit of deprogramming for me. And I am sure that I was not the easiest person to live with as I was trying to figure some things out. I had a lot of my identity tied up into my paycheck and into my status. And then I realized, was like, I don't need that exact same paycheck. Did I end up fully replacing that at a point? Yeah. But immediately, no. And so you're kind of like, okay, well, I thought this was going to go a little faster once I went full time. But yeah, I'd say relationship wise, it was pretty up and down, more or less because of my attitude and my change and me becoming someone different, a different version of myself. But you know, it's been good for the most part. We haven't killed each other yet.
That's a good thing. And we love talking about health and wellness practices. What are some of the things that you're doing? I know you had a big health shift when you left your job and your blood markers all got balanced and better. But what are some health practices that are working for you right now?
Definitely sleep. I need to make sure that I get enough sleep. And you know, just having fun. So one of the beauties of being an entrepreneur is nobody's necessarily looking for you at 9 a.m. on a Tuesday morning. So I've been playing pickleball with a group that plays out here near my home. And I definitely do. I've been a little lax the last couple of weeks. I hurt my foot. But getting to the gym at least 3 days a week. Tonight, I'm going out to do a full moon paddleboard meditation session with a friend of mine. Her name's Michelle. She does really cool things like that out here. So just making sure that I give myself some space and time to take care of myself. I don't want to get back to where I was. I will say, and I'd love to know if you experienced this, but early in the journey, I didn't realize how many thoughts would be coming at into my brain at all times of day or night. So I felt like I was constantly creating something or building something or texting something, or, you know, it's like you've got all these ideas and then realize there are days you can go 15 hours and not even take a break, right? And so being disciplined in the, you know what, tomorrow's a new day. What are the top three things I need to get done today? How do I get those done? And how do I still take care of me and the other things that are important and other people that are important in my life? So did you kind of go through that?
Every day. Because when you're an entrepreneur, especially when you have like multiple businesses, there's always, did I do this? Did I do that? What about this? But it's like, it's endless. And it's just like, put the phone down. It's about having boundaries with myself. Like, okay, this is now family time. It's time with my husband, time to decompress, time to watch TV. And I'm not perfect at it. You know, sometimes even during the show, if I'm like a little bit bored with the acting scene, I'll be like, wait, I need to email this person back. Like, I'm very imperfect about setting boundaries around my business because I love it. And also I'm a recovering, you know, type A workaholic, as I'm sure sounds like you are too.
Yep, absolutely. And to your point, the multiple streams of income, right? So we have multiple businesses. I'm also a chief operations officer for a travel, events, and consulting company. So it is just because I love being busy. I love having my hands in things. I love seeing what's going on in different businesses and having an impact there. So yeah, you have to be disciplined about taking that time for yourself and for other people so that you don't end up back where you were.
Yes. And what advice, this is the last question. If somebody does feel like they're creeping on the edge of burnout, what advice do you have to kind of reel themselves back in so they don't go into burnout? This is the theme of the whole show, going from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant.
Yeah. Press the pause button. You have the power to press the pause button at any time. And there's no one else sitting there waiting to take care of you. You have to do it for yourself. It's hard. You're going to feel guilty. You're going to feel like you're letting someone down because that's how we all, you know, work in this space. But the truth is you have to hit the pause button.
Great advice. And everybody has a pause button. We just get to insert them in our brain. They look like this, like an 11 and like pause. We get to press our own pause button. Well, this has been such a great conversation, Tabitha. I know my listeners are going to want to follow you on social and keep in touch. Where can they find you?
The best place to find me is on LinkedIn. I'm Tabitha with all A's. And that is a really great spot. You're also welcome to pop over to my website, corporateescapesherpa.com, and book a chat if you're interested in learning more or planning that escape.
Thank you so much for being my guest. And thank you, listeners, for going on this journey with me. When you get your life aligned and all seven pillars of abundance, spiritual, fitness, emotional, romantic, mental, social, and financial, you can create a life of success without the burnout. It's about alignment, not the hustle and grind. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone. Level up. Yeah, this is the